We have been talking about the unchanging core truths of Christianity, truths about God that everybody needs to know. It needs to be a part of our belief system, our worldview. If these things are a part of your belief system, then you'll never fall away, honestly. When you truly grasp this and get revelation of these things, man, you'll never want to be away from God. And so me and brother were talking a little earlier. God never forsakes us. Unfortunately, sometimes we forsake him, right? So let's just real quickly, we're going to go through one of those we've been talking about, and I'm going to do a quick review. So we started out talking about the attributes of the Father God, and I'm going to give y'all some big words. I know the young people, I know you can get it. I'm going to get you to repeat them, but let's go ahead and go to number one. God is omniscient. Can you say that? God is. That means he's all-knowing. That means he knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. Sometimes we think, God, do you not know what's going on in my life? The answer is yes, he knows. He knows everything. He is the only real know-it-all. And then we said that God is omnipotent. Omnipotent means, say omnipotent with me. Omnipotent. It's a big word we never use, but when we're talking about God, it applies. Number three, God is omnipresent. That's right. That means he is everywhere. There's no place you can go on this earth, whether you're on the highest mountain or in the deepest valley, whether you're in a Beverly Hills mansion or whether you're in a dungeon. I'm telling you, God is there. And then number four, God is all wise. That means he has all wisdom. I always say he's not only a know-it-all, he's also what? A wise guy. Right? And so if we need wisdom, he says, come to me, I'll give it to you. I'll give you more than you can stand. I'll pour it out on you liberally. How many of you can use some wisdom? Absolutely. I've learned to pray for wisdom. I don't pray for money. I don't pray for things. I pray for wisdom. And then through that wisdom, God provides. Number five, we said God is good. Absolutely good. There is nothing but good in him, right? There's ungood, all right? In God, he is good. He is the source of good, and anything that is truly good comes from God. We said number six, God is love. You can't even know what love is until you know God. You can think you know what love is. Most people, even people who are supposedly in love in a relationship, they can't possibly truly be in love because they don't know love. Love is God. God is love. And so when you know God, then you can truly love. See, that's when we learn to lay our life down for the other. And so people may have chemical reactions and attractions, but that's not necessarily love. Number seven, we said God is merciful. Merciful. Merciful means he didn't give me what I deserve. It means when I deserve to be beaten, he didn't do it, right? When I deserve to be thrown into hell, he chose to do something different. He was merciful. Not only is he merciful, but number eight, he is gracious. That means that not only did he not give me what I deserved, but then he turned around and gave me what he deserves. Man, that's awesome, right? So he's gracious. And then we said, number nine, God is faithful. He is always faithful, always. Now, let me just say this. One of the awesome things about these attributes of God is that if he's in my life, I can also exhibit these things. Amen. Now, I can actually be all-knowing if I'm tapping into his knowledge. I can be all-powerful if I'm tapping into his power, because he's not limited, right? So all of these things, I can be faithful just like he is if I'm willing to tap into it. Then we said number 10, God is just. This is the one a lot of people don't like to talk about. He is just. Right? And there will be a time when that justice will be fully employed. Right? Now, that's already been done in the case of Jesus. The fact that Jesus died on a cross is justice. That was God dealing with your sin and my sin. It had to be dealt with or God wouldn't be just. But thank God, because of his grace, he also let that sin be put on Jesus. So he's just. And there will be a time that those that reject Jesus, they reject his grace, they're only going to experience his justice. And can I tell you, in his justice, if you reject the salvation of Jesus, you will receive, when you reject that, you will receive what you really deserve. And we know the scripture says the wages of sin is death, and that's not talking about physical death, that's talking about the second death. Separation from the love, the known love of God forever. Then we said in number 11, God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need anything. We talked about the fact that God didn't create us, because he was lonely and he needed somebody to hang out with. No, he created us because when we were just a thought in his mind, he loved us. And he loved us so much that he wanted us to experience that love. That's why he created us, not because he had a need, but because when we were just a thought in his mind, he said, you know, I want them to experience my love. So he made us. And so then we said that number 12, that God is holy. He's holy. That word holy means sacred. It means set apart, revered, divine. And then he says, be holy as I'm holy. One of the things we hear people say all the time is, well, you know, I'm not Jesus. I remember hearing Mr. T. Y'all remember Mr. T?
A pity fool.
Right? Y'all remember him? Mr. T, I remember him giving an interview and talking about how he was a Christian. But then he says in the interview, he says, now listen, though, don't try me. He said, because I'm not Jesus. Well, I remember hearing that. In other words, what he's going to say is, you get in my face, I'm going to take you down, right? Okay, because I'm not Jesus. So I understand what he's saying there. But the truth of the matter is, we're not allowed to use that excuse. We're never allowed to say, well, you know, I can't do that because I'm not Jesus. Jesus came, became a man, was completely filled with the Holy Spirit and demonstrated to us what a man filled with the Spirit could do. Isn't that amazing? And so anything Jesus did, that's why the scripture says anything he did, we can do. And even greater, because now we're not limited to one single body. Now he's got all of us, right? So he is holy and he tells us to be holy. That means we can also walk in that holiness. And that has nothing to do with so much the outward things that we try to say are holiness. It has to do with our heart. And what's in the heart is going to be reflected on the outside, right? And so we make a mistake when we start trying to fix things from the outside in. That's not how it works. It works from the inside out. If you're trying to do it from the outside in, that's legalism. If you're trying to do it from the outside in, that's religion. But when you really, from the inside, surrender to him, he begins to change the things on the outside. All right? So again, we talked about the fact that God is holy. And then, I don't think we got to this one last week, but number 13, that is the fact that God is the creator of everything that exists. Now, on Wednesday nights, it's interesting because all of our curriculum on Wednesday nights about God being the creator for the most part, that curriculum's based on that fact. That God created everything, that in the beginning, God created a heaven and earth, right? And then it takes it from there and deals with Genesis and so on, so forth, and all through the Gospels. But God is the creator of everything that exists. One of the many passages to proclaim that God is creator is in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. He says, do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God. The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. So a creator is one who makes something, and typically he makes something new, right? A creator is someone that makes something no one else has ever made. Well, in God's case, that wasn't too hard to do because no one even existed to make anything, right? So he makes something new. So people can create things like art projects, musical compositions, physical structures, but they have something to work with. The awesome thing about God is he didn't need anything to work with. People begin with a pre-existing matter and form that matter into some new way, and we say we made that, but the truth of the matter is we didn't. Right? And so even music and other intellectual creations have rhythms and rhymes and notes and instruments and artistic mediums that provide structure to offer possibilities, but typically we didn't create that. I may pick up a guitar and I may create a song, but I didn't create the guitar. I didn't create the music theory. I didn't create any of that stuff. I didn't even create the words. I just used them to make something that hadn't been made yet. Right? But God has no such raw materials to work with. And when we say that God is the creator, what we mean is that he is truly creative in a category all by himself. Because he started with nothing. And I love Colossians 1:16. For by him all things, everybody say all things, were created in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. It's amazing they have these cameras and so on that are floating around out in space now, and they're taking all kinds of awesome pictures. I forget what the name of that one is that they've sent out millions and millions of miles out there. And they're taking all these pictures out there of planets and stars and galaxies and all of these things. And they're discovering all this stuff. And yet God said he made it all. Even the invisible stuff that we can't see, he still made it. We may send some kind of a satellite out there or a camera. What do you call that thing? Anybody know? Yeah, telescope, but there's a one out there. It's a new one. So they're out there discovering, and they're very proud of themselves for discovering these things. And they're out there discovering these things and talking about how evolution made this happen and so on and so forth. And the truth of the matter is God created it all when there was nothing. And he knew about it, even the things we can't see and will never see. He still created them. And so Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But that covers everything. So that means that before Genesis 1:1, there existed no heavens and no earth. Exodus 20, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Well, he's God, right? He's not limited by our understanding, nor by time or space, nor matter. That's how he can be three and one all at the same time. That blows our mind, but God's not limited by time. He can be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all at the same time because he's not limited by time. And so as the creator, he is the all-wise originator and designer of all things. That's why I would rather, honestly, I trust God and his word and his ability over any doctor. I don't have a problem with doctors, but I want to tell you, doctors are limited in their knowledge. They're still practicing. They're still discovering. God knows it all. He knows it all. By the way, I love to hear a doctor say, and I've talked to many doctors, by the way, that have said, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing, but I use the education that I've had, and then I ask God to show me and give me wisdom, and it works, right? I love to hear a doctor say that. I'm very thankful. That's the kind of doctor I want, right? So Psalm 104, verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of all your creatures. I want you to look at somebody and tell them, you're one of those creatures. When God created the heavens and the earth, he did so by speaking it into existence. And by the way, he gives us the power of words to speak things into existence within the confines of what he has created. But that's why I teach when we pray, we're not asking God to do something. We're taking his word, his creative word, and we're using it in a situation. And that creative word has power to do stuff that we can't do. So when he created the things that filled the earth and the sky, he also spoke them into being. And then when he created human beings, he did something a little different with the human being. He took some dust of the ground that he had already made and he formed a man. And then he breathed his own life into that man. By the way, that's when he gave man his spirit, right? It wasn't necessarily a breath like what you and I are thinking, oxygen. It's when he breathed the life into man. He gave him his spirit. And so he breathed his own life into that man, and that man became a living creature. And when he created the first woman, Eve, he also used that which he had already made. He used a rib from Adam. And he caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. Somebody say, thank God. That was a nice thing for him to do before he takes his rib. He also knew that, you know, I mean, look, it's not easy to take a rib from a man, right? So he calls Adam to go into this deep sleep. And then God is the designer and the craftsman of everything in the universe. And he created human beings a step above all the rest. He literally took the time to fashion them, to form them. What a beautiful picture. He spent special time. You know, you might have a little Pickapoo or a German Shepherd or some other dog that you just love and you admire and you think they're wonderful. That's wonderful. Treat them good. We ought to treat God's creation good. But you know what? They're not made in his image. You and I are. Now, I know people who treat dogs better than they treat their fellow human. We're going to leave that alone. So that means human beings are more like God than any other creature or created thing. And we have this eternal spirit just like God does. And we can reason and we can choose good and we can choose evil and we can love. And by the way, the reason God gave us the opportunity to choose good and evil is that's how love works, right? Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. I choose to do good. That's love. Amen? So we have emotions, we have intellect, we have power and desire to create things ourselves. God desires to have fellowship with us because he wants us to know his love, as I said earlier. He does not seek fellowship with dogs or dolphins or trees, only humans. And so when he came to earth to save us, he came in the form of a man. When we say that God is a creator, we mean that no one created him and that God alone is the creator. And I want to tell you, that's one of them things you have to accept by faith. And honestly, people have tried to come up with other explanations. They call themselves atheists, right? They call themselves Darwinists, so on and so forth. But I want to tell you, at least in my studies and the things that I see, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. So when we say that God is a creator, understand, nobody created him. And he's the intelligent designer of everything. Satan, by the way, cannot create. Satan can only pervert, and he's really good at that. But God creates. People cannot truly create because we have to start with something that's already been created. Everything originated with God. He created everything, so everything is his. And that's something that people have a hard time understanding. You know, we think I'm my own man. No, you're not. No, you think you are. You're going to find out one day who really has authority over your life. As human beings, we're also his, and he has the right to rule over us. He gives us freedom to choose him or to reject him, but consequences come with either choice. So the wise person bows before the creator, willingly submits himself or herself to the only one who truly knows how we're made. I mean, people are still trying to figure out the human body. There are still diseases and things that they have no idea how to take care of, certain things they don't know how to fix. Yet God made every intricate detail. He designed everything, including the DNA. And so Psalm chapter 78, verse 39, and we're coming to a close here real fast. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again. Romans 9:20, but who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? How arrogant is it that we would shake our fist at God and tell him he made some kind of a mistake? Lord, if you loved me, you'd have, made me a little bit taller. I used to feel that way. If you loved me, you know how bad I want to slam dunk that basketball. And I can't. If you really love me, right, we say stupid stuff. If you love me, you would have gave me a different shaped nose or different color eyes and, different color hair. How do I know that? Because people always color in their hair, right? Wearing them different colored contact lenses, all kinds of stuff. So, eyelashes, the whole thing. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, right? And then Isaiah 44:24, last scripture. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens and who spread out the earth by himself. He didn't need anybody's help. Amen? But let me just say this. Revelation I thought was really cool. God designed us to function and operate with his spirit. When he brought life to man, it was not just, a spirit apart from God. But I believe that when he brought life to Adam, it's kind of the same as a person who gets born again today and has the spirit of God infused with their spirit. Because what happened is when Adam and Eve sinned, their spirit was still there, but the presence of God was no longer there. And so when God created Adam, he created him out of the dust. And Adam, before God breathed his life, in other words, before God's spirit becomes a part of a person's life, then that's what they are. They're dust. So every single one of us, before you came to Christ, before the Holy Spirit came to live in you, whether you knew it or not, were nothing but a dirt bag. You might have been a nice dirt bag, but you were a dirt bag. Amen. But when God put his spirit in you, it transformed you. Amen. And here's the awesome thing. We have our idea what perfection is too, but if you look at anybody's face, and if you look at one side of their face, it's going to look different than the other side of their face. I mean, it's just the way it is, but yet it's all perfect. I would much rather put my trust in the one who literally knows everything about everything than to put my trust and some scientist that's still trying to discover stuff that God put out there a long time ago.
Okay, he's the only one who that word is attributed to in Scripture as creator, that bara. And what occurs to me tonight is because he's the only one who can create, there is no one who can compete or conflict or have any opposition against him. So there is no other creator. He is the only one, like you said, who can take something out of nothing, who can create. And in the essence of creation, that's what that word means, that he's the only one who can take something ex nihilo out of nothing. So there is no conflict against that God. And so when we think, you know, people like to think of the devil as being against God and all the evils against God, but that does not exist in his realm. There is no conflict because he is the only creator. So your settled peace that passes understanding comes from that, from him as creator.
Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to know you. Lord, what an awesome privilege to know the Creator. Lord God, we would much rather know you than to know some superstar musician or superstar actor or superstar sports person. Father, what a privilege to know you and to be part of your family. Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough to create us. We thank you that you loved us enough not just to create us, but to make a way for us when we had lost our way. Lord, you are so good. Father, help us by your grace to have a greater revelation of what you have ordained and predestined for us, Lord God, that we might tap into that destiny, tap into that potential, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that truly you are greater in us than he that's in the world. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege to represent you. Help us by your grace to represent you well. Lord, may we be light in the darkness. Lord, we thank you for loving us the way you do. Lord, I pray, bless your people, Lord, as they go out the rest of the week, wherever it is that you're going to take them, may they see their mission in you. And Lord, may they make a difference to those around them. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.